Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the gift of tongues. But before we do that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come together to study thy very words, Lord. We pray for the saint of God listening today that they would be lifted up, encouraged, strengthened in the things of thee, Lord. Father, we pray for the lost soul that may be listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We pray that this would be the very day that they believe from their heart that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, that they would trust in only his shed blood and nothing else to save them. We pray by faith that call upon the name of the Lord today to save them. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We started as we began our study on the gift of tongues. We began to look at the various places where tongues were used in the book of Acts. And that's where I'd like to pick up today and direct our attention over to Acts chapter 19, if you would, and we'll look at verses 1 through 8 together. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. In finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I want to make some observations of the passage that we just read in Acts chapter 19. First of all, notice these 12 men are all Jews living according to the Old Testament law. Second, these men had not received the Holy Ghost since they believed because they had not yet believed in Christ Jesus for salvation. Remember that the reception of the Holy Ghost is automatic in the New Testament for all who trust Christ as Savior. Third, these men only spake in tongues after having an apostle lay hands on them. Fourth, this miracle was assigned to these 12 men, confirming the new truth that had been preached about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, by the Apostle Paul. Fifth and last, this miracle may also have been assigned to the Jewish believers in the area. Note the reference to a Jewish synagogue in verse 8 of chapter 19 of Acts. We read the following. And he went into the synagogue. That's the Apostle Paul. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Let me make a summation of the use of tongues in the book of Acts. All three times that the Spirit used the miracle of tongues in the book of Acts, the only consistent factor that can be seen is that the miracles in each case was assigned to Jews who did not believe something. Each divine use of tongues was an initial experience involving a new group of people. There is no indication that tongues were the norm, and there is every indication that it was highly unusual when it occurred. In each case, the Spirit used the signs of tongues, but did so in slightly different ways. The initial works of the Spirit form no pattern that we are commanded to imitate or that we should seek to copy. The book of Acts is not a doctrinal treatise for the church, but a historical record of the progressive work of the Spirit with respect to the church. Now we want to turn our attention and look at the gift of tongues in the book of 1 Corinthians. First of all, the appearance of tongues in Corinth. The appearance of tongues in Corinth. There are three things that I want us to see about that. First of all, Corinth was the only New Testament church recorded as speaking in tongues. Although the spiritual gifts are listed in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, only the list of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians includes any of the miraculous sign gifts. From the following point, it should be noted that there were no Jews in Rome. Thus, there was no need for anyone in Rome to be practicing the sign gifts. The second thing we want to see about the gift of tongues in the book of 1 Corinthians is Corinth had a significant Jewish population. Corinth had a significant Jewish population. Let's turn together to the book of Acts, chapter 18, and we'll look at verses 1 to 4 together. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So we see by reading this passage in Acts chapter 18 that Corinth had a significant Jewish population. The third thing, as we look at the gift of tongues in the book of 1 Corinthians, we want to see is Paul had a significant need to validate his apostleship in Corinth. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12. And we read the following. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The controversy over Paul's apostleship is a major theme in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10 and 2 Corinthians chapters 11 through 13, resolving questions about apostolic authenticity was one of the three major purposes of the sign gifts. Now, as we look at the gift of tongues in the book of 1 Corinthians, we turn our attention now and want to look at the abuse of tongues in 1 Corinthians. And first of all, we want to see how Corinth was a carnal church. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And we'll read those together. And brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. Some believers in Corinth actively exercised the gift of tongues. And yet this church was carnal, incapable of being taught spiritual meat, divided and harboring a believer guilty of incest. The church in Corinth had believers suing each other in secular courts, believers guilty of fornication, infighting, and believers abusing the Lord's table, getting sick, and being killed by God for it. Clearly, the use of tongues or any spiritual gift is no proof of spirituality. And now, as we're looking at the abuse of tongues in 1 Corinthians, we want to seek that Corinth made the mistake of overemphasizing one gift. And Paul took every opportunity to de-emphasize it. You see, Paul listed the gifts of tongues and interpretations last in his gift list. Let's turn together, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 28 through 30. We read the following. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Then we see that Paul connects tongues with selfishness or pride. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. We read the following. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And then we see that Paul uses an entire chapter to show the superiority of prophesying over tongues. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with me, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 5 together. We read the following. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now remember that prophesying is simply the declaration of truth and includes Bible preaching, teaching, and soul winning. Paul's point is that prophesying can be understood and is thus beneficial. Tongues, when they cannot be understood, are completely useless. Only when they are properly interpreted are tongues beneficial and essentially equitable with prophesying. Look with me, if you would, again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse number 9. We read the following. So likewise ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Drop down to verse 19 with me of 1 Corinthians 14. We read the following. Yet in the church, I'd had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Again, we're looking at the abuse of tongues in Corinth. Another thing we want to see there is Corinth failed to obey the rules for speaking in tongues. That's right. Corinth failed to obey the rules for speaking in tongues. First of all, we see that tongues must edify the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, we read the following. Paul said this, the Apostle Paul, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And then in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 14, we read the following. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And then, drop down to First Corinthians 14, drop down to verse 26. We read this. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So we see then that tongues must edify the church. Now another thing about tongues must be understandable to all present. Now we're in 1 Corinthians 14. And I want us to look together, read down together, verses 7 through 21, and see how tongues must be understandable to all present. And we read the following. In even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongues words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, but none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So we see clearly from that passage that tongues must be understandable to all present. And then we see tongues must be used in the presence of unbelieving Jews. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, we read the following. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the word of God says, for the Jews require a sign. So tongues must be used in the presence of unbelieving Jews. Tongues must be used in an orderly fashion. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27, we read the following. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. And then we see tongues must also be used if there is an interpreter present. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 and 28 together. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So we see that Scripture is quite clear, that there must always be an interpreter present, or one should remain silent. This entirely rules out the concept of spontaneous utterances in tongues. Before speaking up, one had the biblical obligation to see if there was an interpreter present. Some factions of the charismatic movement teach that tongues are spontaneously uttered as the Spirit overwhelms a man. Such a person can't help himself but to burst into an utterance in some language not previously known. This was not the way it worked in the scripture. At all times, one was in control of his spirit and consciously used the gift, albeit by the power of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, one must be in control of his spirit in order to keep silence when this was necessary. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, we read this. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And then we see that tongues must never be used by women in the assembly. Again, tongues must never be used by women in the assembly. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 to 35. We read the following. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now the context of this passage is speaking in tongues. If tongues are properly used, among other things, they instruct people in God's truth. This explains why Paul wrote inspired scripture prohibiting women from using tongues in the church. Then let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Obviously, there are many charismatic churches grossly violating Scripture at this point. All attempts to relate such passages to past history or to a past cultural context clearly deny the plain teaching of the Scripture. The modern woman's rights movement is not of God, has no place in the church. The Holy Spirit is not going to give someone a gift in clear contradiction to what he has already written in his inspired word. This point is a good example of Scripture forcing a believer to choose between trusting in their own opinions and experiences or in what God has already said in his holy word. Well, we're going to stop right there. And when we come together next time, we'll continue our discussion on the gift of tongues. But before I conclude today, again, I want to remind folks that I've recently have a book published, and I'm offering it to listeners absolutely free. It's entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. So if you'd like a copy of that book, or if you'd like a copy of our today's study or any of our studies on the pastor's study, you'll be given the address to contact me, where to contact me at the end of the broadcast. Well, again, it's been an honor and a privilege to be with you today. I want to thank my listeners. Maybe first-time listeners or the faithful listeners that listen each and every week. I thank you. And my prayer for each and every one of you today, until we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I pray that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.